morning and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering this Christmas, December 25th, 2014. A special Christmas Day message of hope and courage to parishioners of All Saints Cathedral in the town of Maridi.
Trust in God and surrender yourself to God. Do His will by accepting reconciliation, by loving each other, and by bringing unity to the people God has entrusted to you.
And business owners say it's far from a typical holiday shopping season this year.
This Christmas, not like another Christmas. Because no money is a problem. The customers come to buy clothes that say that no money, I have small money.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Pope Francis has delivered a second annual Christmas blessing to thousands of believers gathered at St. Peter's Square and many more watching on television around the world. Christmas is one of the holiest days for Christians who celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. The Pope led a solemn Christmas Eve Mass last night at St. Peter's Basilica, urging Roman Catholics to remember that God's message of peace is stronger than darkness and corruption. Before the Mass, the Pope Francis telephoned Christian refugees at a camp in Iraq, conveying a message of hope for a better future. The refugees have fled Islamic State fighters who have persecuted Shiite Muslims, Christians, and others in Syria and Iraq. Last night, in the West Bank town of Bethlehem, pilgrimage from around the world converged for Christmas Eve celebration hosted by the Palestinian Authority. Robert Berger was there.
Christmas celebrations kicked off in Bethlehem with a festive march by Palestinian boy and girl scouts through Manger Square. They marched past a giant Christmas tree facing the ancient Church of the Nativity, where tradition says Jesus was born. A large crowd of local Palestinians looked on, including Sufyan Sobeh, who is a Muslim.
Most people be happy because it is a Christmas. We are here in Bethlehem, the city of the peace, and we have a special way of Christmas. The Muslim and Christian people, they be happy in Christmas, not just Christian people, and it will be Merry Christmas.
Pilgrims came from all over the world to participate in the festivities and worship at the ancient Grotto of the Nativity. Espoir Serukiza is from the Congo.
I'm so much blessed to be here, and it's a good place for Christians, for believers, and I'm a Christian, so it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity being here, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The turnout is lower this Christmas than in recent years. The 50-day war between Israel and the Palestinian militant group Hamas in the Gaza Strip several months ago brought a sharp drop in tourism, and the industry still has not recovered. Since the Bethlehem economy depends on tourism, that is bad news for Palestinian shopkeepers in Manger Square like Mary Jacamon.
We should see more tourists these days for Christmas, but no, it's when a tourist hears there's something going on or violence or anything, they don't come.
Adding to the hardships in Bethlehem is Israel's security barrier, erected over a decade ago following a wave of Palestinian suicide bombings. Latin Patriarch Fuad Tawal, who heads the Roman Catholic Church in the Holy Land, passed through the concrete barrier to get to Bethlehem from Jerusalem. He said he hopes the wall will come down and that there will be bridges of peace instead. Robert Berger for VOA News, Bethlehem.
And the one-year conflict in South Sudan did not prevent Christians from celebrating this Christmas. More than 1,000 people turned out today in Western Equatoria State's town of Maridi to hear Bishop Justin Badi deliver his Christmas Day message to the congregation of All Saints Cathedral. Bishop Justin tells South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam his message was about Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Which is, do not be afraid. That same message was taken by the angels to the shepherds who were looking after animals. The angel told them, do not be afraid. And even to Joseph, who was doubting to take his wife, the angel said, do not be afraid. As South Sudanese and as the people of Western Equatoria, God is telling us this year, in our own situation, do not be afraid. God is in control. And as Christians, we have to surrender our life to God so that His will can be done. And the will of God is to encourage one another, to reconcile, to forgive, to unite, and to love one another. That is why God had to send His only Son to come to the world in order to demonstrate love, to bring reconciliation, and to give hope.
And that's a very strong, inspirational message. I was just wondering, in this year, after so much hardship and devastation and death and misery, it must be very hard for many, many South Sudanese to not be afraid when they have seen their brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers killed right before them. How is this message getting through to so many people who have been terror-stricken this past year?
The only hope we have now is in God, because if His word says, do not be afraid, which means our future is in His hands. Because this same message was an encouragement to those who are having fears, who are in trouble, who did not know what would happen next. God encouraged them, and their faith in God was able to give them hope. And I do understand, as South Sudanese, after the chaos, the bloodshed, and all the confusion, we still trust that God will bring change in our life and in our own situation. Whether we are in exile or within South Sudan or in camps, we still hope in God.
If you could speak directly to President Salva Kiir and Riek Machar, just sit down and speak face-to-face with both of them, what would you say?
I will still tell President Salva Kiir and Riek, do not be afraid of your own future or of anything. Trust in God and surrender yourself to God. Do His will, but by accepting reconciliation, by loving each other, and by bringing unity to the people God has entrusted to you so that they may be in peace. And in turn, God will bless you. But if we continue with our own ways of not reconciling, not forgiving, then God may not be on our side and help us. I think that message applies to our leaders and to everybody in South Sudan. God, in His own way, will be able to show us the way and to bless us, bless the leadership, and bless everybody in South Sudan.
Are you hopeful for peace in early 2015?
Yes, I'm hopeful. If God could send His only Son to the world, and then the coming of Jesus, who is the author of peace, the Prince of Peace, I'm hopeful that God will bring peace.
That's Bishop Justin Baride, Diocesan Bishop of Maridi in Western Equatorial State, speaking to South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam earlier today. Most Christians in Jonglei State are celebrating Christmas by attending the Birth of Jesus Christ Festival. The Bishop of Bor Diocese says this Christmas is especially important in order to pray for peace in the new year. For VOA, Jacob Acek reports from Bor.
Hundreds of thousands of Jonglei State residents are celebrating Christmas by singing songs of happiness and welcome the birth of Jesus. The Bishop of Bor Diocese, Ruben Akudi Dengong, says this celebration is a blessing to people of Jonglei State, particularly people of Greater Bor. He says Christmas Day gives people free time to express their happiness and to express their feeling of forgiveness.
My King show the happiness how people are receiving the birth of Christ. As the people celebrate freely, as long as they are able to march and sing, not limited like the church service, which is very limited.
Reverend Thomas Agoukour says marching show joy and happiness despite the crisis that have plunged the country.
I'm so much happy to see to it that people have celebrated Xmas for this year 2015. 2014. It is very joyful, and we praise God and we thank God for giving us a chance to celebrate this Xmas. It is very special, one, for this year, because last year our Christmas celebration was interrupted by crisis.
Jonglei State Member of Parliament who represents Pochala, John Joseph Abula, hope that Greater Jonglei will finally achieve peace in the nearest future.
Wish everyone to respect his neighbor and his relative so that people enjoy the Christmas together instead of creating violence again within the communities. Let advise our brothers to so that they come back to us so that we live together in peace instead of violence.
Abraham Pon, an evangelist with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, says all Christians should honor Christmas as a day of peace.
We from Seventh-day Adventists, we do celebrate Christmas in a form of conference. We started our conference since 22. It will end up to 28 of this month. So we are discussing some issues concerning our church, the plan for the church of New Year, and also addressing some challenges which we have experienced for this year, and also the way how we can overcome them next year.
Last year, Christians in Jonglei State were not able to celebrate Christmas because of the violence that broke out in mid-December, which resulted in thousands of deaths and mass destruction of homes and properties in Upper Nile, Unity, and Jonglei States. For BOA News, I'm Jacob Achek in Bor, Jonglei State.
And in Juba, it is not Christmas as usual. Business owners there say they are not making enough money this holiday season. Mungume Devs Rakarinj talked to some business people in the nation's capital and has this report.
Barbara Mowaya sells second-hand clothes. When I met her, she had wandered from Konyokonyo Market to Jebel and then to Juba Town with the clothes she was trying to sell. In Malakia Market, she and a potential buyer are haggling over the price of Moya's wares.
How much?
13.
13 you go up.
13,
Uremafia.
13, this one 15.
The last price of this?
Last it. Last price 13.
In the end, the buyer walked away empty-handed. Moya says she's had to deal with that a lot of this year.
This Christmas, not like another Christmas. Because no money is a problem. The customers come to buy a clothes that he said that no money, I have small money. This one trouser, me, I want 15 or 20. Customer said that I have 10 pounds, 5 pounds shirts. Now, it's like that.
Before South Sudan plunged into conflict a year ago, people used to buy lots of clothes in the run-up to Christmas. Last year, Mowaya would sell a pair of trousers for £30 and a shirt for £20. Today, even with a 50% discount of those prices, she's not able to find buyers for her clothing. And the days when she would make a profit of about £200 per day are a thing of the past. These days, she says, she makes a quarter of that, 50 to 60 pounds a day if she's lucky. One potential customer, Moni Henry Iga, says he used to buy clothing for his wife and two children for Christmas. This year is different though, he says.
I've not bought any. Yeah, because the environment is not compelling actually. You know, it's not making me, you know, prepare for it fully.
Ladu Abdur runs a beverage store in Juba's Nyakro neighborhood. He says that even in this Christmas season, when business has been uncharacteristically slow.
We were expecting people from houses coming, buying 2 crates, 3 crates, 5 crates, but this month, totally there is nothing. And the business is so down. We don't sell at the Christmas day exactly. We sell on these days which are approaching to Christmas. People buy things, then they stock them at home, then on Christmas they enjoy. But this season of this Christmas, it is very dull.
But some businessmen are making money. Take Kenneth Modi, for example. He sells music, including Christmas songs. Buyers purchase the songs for a very affordable pound each and store them on flash drives or their mobile phones. Modi says he was making 30 to 40 pounds a day a few months ago.
Now it depends. It might be 70 or 100 like that.
Modi says that is enough for him to live on. He says he thinks sales of Christmas songs have boosted the amount of money he makes. But his earnings are still well below the 200 pounds he used to make in the run-up to Christmas before South Sudan was mired in conflict. For VOA News, I am Mugumede Seruakarinj in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The government sets aside more than £1 billion to fund South Sudan's 2015 elections, days after the opposition called for postponing the vote. That story is coming after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you prefer wearing traditional clothing or Western clothing?
Somehow Western, somehow traditional. Yeah, anything goes.
I prefer wearing traditional clothing to church than Western clothing as casual.
You know, it depends on the environment where you are in. You know, well, for me, actually, I'm a fashionista because I love. At time, actually, depend where you wear your clothes. At time, actually, it might be you're going for like marrying ceremonies or something, then you need to wear in your culture. And there are some other occasions where, like, if you're going for clubbing, you don't need to wear this one for your culture. Then you need to wear in a different way, yeah.
I have to love my traditional wear, but especially with the youths, we love Western clothing. But when there are occasions like traditional marriages, cultural galas, traditional wears are okay.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's government has approved 1.5 billion South Sudanese pounds or $517 million to fund general elections that has been scheduled to take place next year. But analysts and opposition party officials say the elections must be postponed after more than a year of deadly conflict. Waki Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
South Sudan Minister of Information Michael Makwelweth confirmed the Council of Ministers' decision at a Juba news conference yesterday.
We approve an amount of 1.5 billion South Sudanese pounds for running the election.
Luet says conducting elections in 2015 is written in the country's transitional constitution. But Lam Akol, the leader of South Sudan's opposition, says it is impossible to hold the elections next year for several reasons.
According to the election law, a political party must be registered in accordance with the Political Party Act of 2012. None have registered, including the ruling party itself. So are you going to carry out election in violation of the constitution and in violation of the law? The government did not swear in the body that is a political party, it's called Political Affairs Council. It did not swear them in for 2 years.
Akol says the money reserved for the elections should be used instead to help the hundreds of thousands of South Sudanese in need of food and shelter.
I think the government should have paid that money for those people because that is the priority, to save lives, not to talk about diversionary issues. The issue of election is something that is not realistic. In the first place, where do you hold election? Election should be held when there is peace. You cannot have election when people are still fighting and the people are displaced. About 2 million people have been displaced.
The government approved spending money on 2015 elections just days after the activist group South Sudan Network for Democracy and Elections called for the elections to be postponed. The group cited widespread insecurity across the country, which it says would stand in the way of free and fair elections. Luet says the government would not hold the elections if a permanent peace agreement is reached with the rebels before the vote is set to take place.
And if we agree at any time, if we can agree before we could vote, we will stop the elections and operationalize the agreement. And if we don't agree up to the elections, then the government would have been legitimized.
The Kiir administration was voted into power in the April 2010 general elections. But the legitimacy of the current government will come to an end by July next year if elections are not held to usher in a new legitimate government. Akol says the government should instead conduct elections for caretaker governors of Lakes, Jonglei, and Unity States in order to restore confidence in the country's electoral system.
If they know that elections could be carried out, why did they not carry out elections for the governors of four states that are now caretaker governors for more than the time is specified in the constitution? They should have done that first so that people can see that elections can be carried out. The fact that this election cannot be carried out, it means that no election can be carried out.
The latest round of peace talks in Addis Ababa between negotiators for the government and rebels loyal to former Vice President Riek Machar collapsed once again last weekend, with no new dates for resumption of the negotiations to address the root cause of the violence that erupted in Juba and spread to three states a year ago. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu from Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. An African Union peacekeeping base in the Somali capital Mogadishu is under attack from militants. Witnesses are reporting gunfire and explosions at the base, which is near the city's airport. The Islamist militant group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for the assault. An Al-Shabaab spokesman told Reuters News Service that Al-Shabaab fighters forced their way onto the base, where gunfire reportedly continues at this hour. The father of a Jordanian captured by Islamic State militants in Syria is pleading with the rebel group for the fighter pilot's safe return. The father appealed to the religious extremists to treat First Lieutenant Muath el-Kasabah as a guest, not a hostage, telling them, "We are all Muslims." Jordan confirmed yesterday that the pilot is being held. The F-16 fighter jet he was flying as part of the U.S.-led coalition against the Islamic State went down near the rebel stronghold of Raqqa in northern Syria. The U.S. military has acknowledged that the plane crashed, but denied a claim by the Islamic State that its militants shot it down. And finally, people around the world are marking Christmas, one of the holiest days of the year for Christians today. In his annual Christmas blessing to thousands gathered in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis condemned what he called the brutal persecution of minorities by the Islamic State group that seized large parts of Syria and Iraq earlier this year. The Pope also discussed many of the major conflicts and crises around the world. He urged people to work for peace in places like Ukraine, Nigeria, and the Central African Republic. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
And we finally turn to Uganda. President Yoweri Museveni's ruling National Resistance Movement has given him additional political powers ahead of possible changes to the constitution. Elizabeth Pollard in Kampala reports on what this means for the future of one of Africa's longest-serving leaders.
At the NRM Delegates Conference in mid-December, a monumental shift took place. More than 10,000 delegates assembled in Kampala approved a motion allowing the party chairman, President Museveni, to appoint or dismiss party leaders. Prior to this conference, the NRM elected leaders by popular vote. In less than a week, the president used those powers, and the NRM announced a shakeup in the party's top offices. First to go was the man who presented the biggest challenge to Mr. Museveni, NRM Secretary General Amama Mbabazi, who had been dismissed as prime minister months earlier. The treasurer, deputy secretary general, and electoral commission chairman were replaced as well. Silver Kayando, a lawyer who worked on the NRM legal committee for the conference, says the consolidation of power is a good move to make politics more efficient.
NRM is a political party desirous of maintaining its political power and rule. So if they've deemed it fit that through the party chairman having more power is what will deliver them victory to maintain their hold on power, so be it. I don't see it. Power is there to be exercised, and he definitely, the party chairman, in my view, should have power. Right now, politically, Museveni is stronger. He displayed a lot of political genius. He was able to play his cards straight.
The consolidation of party power comes at a crucial time. The Uganda Law Reform Commission is currently reviewing a number of proposed amendments to the Constitution, including allowing the government to seize land for investment purposes. This comes ahead of Uganda's plan to award new oil and gas exploration licenses in 2015, after a 7-year moratorium. The discovery of gas and oil reserves has led to an increase in land disputes and claims. Other proposed constitutional changes would allow the president to direct police policies and make it tougher for members of parliament to shift political alliances. This is not surprising given the recent history of swift crackdowns on political opponents, including the repeated jailings of Kizza Besigye, a former presidential candidate. President Museveni is a former rebel leader who has been in power since 1986. He has won 4 elections in the past 20 years, but critics say that is because he stacked the deck, engineered an easy election for himself. The last election in 2011 was widely criticized as flawed. So it is not surprising to human rights activists that one of the proposed constitutional amendments not being considered is the restoration of term limits. The 2-term limit was scrapped in 2005 by constitutional amendment, allowing the president to run for his 3rd and 4th terms. At the same time, restrictions on political pluralism were also put in place. Livingstone Siwanyana, of the Foundation for Human Rights Initiative, says he believes the latest move to increase the president's powers is to counter early any possible challenge ahead of the 2016 elections.
I would say yes, it raises a fundamental issue as the extent to which power is shared and the freedom to which citizens can make choices.
An official announcement is expected to come in the next 6 months. Elizabeth Pola, VOA News, Kampala, Uganda.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Yesu Motomoto by a group calling itself Barakole Dotoda. We have been listening to a group calling itself Barakola Dotoda with the song Yesu Motomoto. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Merry Christmas to all of you. We hope you join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.